If you're unsaved, I want to present him to you for just a second and tell you that he came and died at Calvary and took your sin and my sin so that you could be saved and so that I could be saved. And if you'll come believing that he went to Calvary and died for you and rose again the third and appointed day, that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll believe that in your heart, and asked him to save you, knowing that you're lost, he will save you today. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want you to know my blessed Savior today. Amen. He's got me and I've got him. He's my friend and he's my joy. Amen. Even when I don't think I got any joy, and I know that ain't good English, but even when I don't think I got no joy, I've got joy on the inside. Take your Bible as you stand this morning to your feet and go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. We're going to start a series of messages on Sunday morning, or as the Lord leads, at least I'm going to start it this morning out of Jeremiah chapter 4. And I've been dwelling on this message probably for a month or two now on the sins of a nation. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning, church. If God does not judge our nation for our sins, then this Bible is not true this morning. Listen, it is not true. As one feller said, he would not only have to apologize and that to Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have to apologize and that to the nation of Israel and that for the judgment that he wrought upon them. But I want us to look in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a book of warning. Jeremiah is a book of impending judgment that is given to the nation of Israel and to the nation of Judah. And he is telling them and encouraging them to get right. He wants them to get right with God. Sin had become so rampant in the nation of Israel and in the nation of Judah. They were divided at that time in the two kingdoms. Almost sounds like our nation today, don't it? Are we not divided? Listen, we're in a divided nation. A great divide rests between people today. And that divide is not only between people. And is there not only a disconnect between the people and Washington, D.C., but there is a great divide between the people of our nation and the God in heaven. Listen, nobody and that seems to want to regard him. But look with me in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4 and verse 1. "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves of the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of what? The evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go in the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and hail, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you for the choir singing, the special singing, "Who am I? I'm nobody. I was lost, but now I'm found because of Jesus, my Savior." And Lord, I thank you for your saving grace and the wonderful mercy that you've showed to each of us that are saved today. But if there's somebody here that that's lost, that don't know you, I pray they'd come and get saved this morning. Deal with their heart. Bring them out and that to a place of repentance. Show them that time is short. Judgment is soon to come and they need to get right with you. Lord, I ask and pray you touch us now for just a little while and just help us preach what thus saith the word of God is this morning. Lord, bring back to my mind the things that's been studied, the things that you've given us through this past week, through this past month. Lord, I pray that you would help us while we preach, and we'll give the glory for it all. Touch us and anoint us afresh. We need some help to preach this morning. We can't do it on our own, and we're looking to heaven for that help. Save that sinner's nearest hell. Help the one that needs help. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You be seated this morning. As Israel's far away from God, listen, I want you to understand something. Israel's in a place where they have forsaken God. He told them there in verse 3, he said, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. That fallow ground is ground that hadn't been tore up in a while. That ground that's laid desolate, that hadn't had the plow put in it for a little while. He said, circumcise your heart. Take away the flesh. He said, get that hard heart out of you. He said, let the word of God plow down on the inside of you, and don't sow among the thorns. Listen, you know what people need? What I need, what you need, what the church needs today, and that's the word of God. Amen. You need it. I need it. We need a touch from God, and the only way we're going to find it is in the word of God, and on our knees before God, asking God to help us and to forgive us of our sins, to forgive us of our nation's sins. Hey, listen, if you look in Daniel 9, you'll go over there and Daniel begins to pray, and he begins to repent. What is he repenting of? He's repenting of national sins. He said, Lord, look at us. We're just in a mess. We're in a bad shape, and just need to be forgiven. Hey, listen, you know what our nation needs today? It needs Jesus in it. It needs God in it. And it needs repentance, and that from the abominations that we've committed as a nation. I want you to look with me quickly by way of introduction. Our nation is in the same shape that Israel was. What did he say right here? He said, put the abominations away. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But listen, they're far away from God. He said, return unto me. Listen, they had got away from God. Can I tell you that our nation has got away from God? I don't think we have to have that argument today. We are a Christian nation. We are a nation that's based on Christianity and the Word of God, but people don't want to have nothing and that to do with the Word of God today. Don't want to have anything to do with God and the God that sits on the throne in heaven that blessed us and made us as great as we are today. Nobody, it seems, want to have anything to do with God. You want to know why? You want to know why it's got that way? Because the church doesn't seem to want to have anything to do with God. Listen, a lot of churches, they'll just come in this morning. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I've pastored here for 17 years. This month starts my 17th year. And we don't get to go out that much. We don't get to go out and see other churches and what's going on in other churches. But it don't take much and long for me to get around folk that says I go to church and that I'm a church member and that I'm a Christian, that I can find out in just a little bit whether they're lining up with the book or not. Amen. Hey, I can talk to them for just a little while and figure out what's going on. Now, I know that not everybody in this church has representation. Like I said, now if you're going to sin, don't you go tell people that you're a member of Unity Baptist Church. Amen? Right? Don't you be telling people that. And I know that not everybody that says that they go to church is a good representation of their church. But I'm going to tell you, Christianity has become weak today because it, and I'm using that loosely, because it wants nothing to do with the God of heaven. Churches have begun to get far away from God. Got far away from God in the Word of God. Listen, they've got away from the King James Bible. They've got away from true and good music. Got away from true and good teaching. And true and good preaching. Listen, churches has got away. You know why churches has got away from the Word of God and the preaching of God and the teaching of the Word of God? Because homes has got away from God. When homes get away from God, then the nation is headed down the hill, because the church is headed in that direction. What do you allow in your home today? What's going on in your home? Is there Bible reading in your home? There should be. There should be meditation on the scripture in your home. Do you know that the TV should not have the predominant place in your home? TV, I mean, if you want one, I've got some in my home, but it is not predominant in my home. At least I like to think that it ain't anyway. If we ain't careful, that thing will take over. Looking at your phone will take over if you ain't careful. And you'll spend more time in that than in the Word of God and in praying to the Lord God in heaven. If you take your Bible and go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 36. I don't even know if I'm going to get out of my introduction today. Take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah 36. I want you to look with me what's going on right here. Jeremiah 36. God has sent the word and that to Jeremiah. And look here in verse 1, Jeremiah 36. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. Last good king Judah had was Josiah. Last good king. Boy, he was a good king too. Boy, I mean, you're talking about setting things straight. He set things straight. But you know, by this time, things has already got away from God. 4 years into this reign, Josiah had been a good king, brought the nation of Judah back to God. And it didn't take long till they got away from God. Again, you know that'll happen overnight if you ain't careful, friend. You'll get away from God. I can get away from God just that quick. Listen, in the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I had spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. All right. So he writes it down. Josiah writes it down, or Jeremiah writes it down in a row. Baruch actually writes it down. And Jeremiah says, take it and that to the king. Now look in verse 23. Take your Bible and go to verse 23. Now, and it came to pass that when Jehudah had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. What's took place right here? Jeremiah has wrote down, or Baruch has got from Jeremiah the word of God. And he's wrote it down and he's took it and that to the princes and to the king. Jeremiah said, take it over there to him on the day of fasting. He said, maybe they'll hear it and repent. And so he takes it over there on the days of fasting. And when the king reads 3 or 4 sheets of it, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out his pocket knife. And he begins to cut on the word of God. He cuts it up. And the Bible said it was wintertime and they had a fire there. And he took what was cut up and all those papers and he threw them in the fire. Can I tell you, that's what people are doing today with the word of God. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. So as long as I don't hear it, then it won't come true today. Listen, God wanted Israel to get right. He wanted them to break up their fallow ground. Did you know that, friend? God will convict you, but it's your position and that to get right with God. God ain't going to make you get right. God ain't make you get humble. God ain't going to make you go out there and sit in the dust and the ashes and put sackcloth on and get a repentative heart. God ain't going to do that. He'll convict you and make you wish that you would have, but you've got to decide to get the repentative heart. And so, friend, you may have sin in your life, so I encourage you to get right with God. Hosea 10 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You wonder why we're in the shape that we're in. You don't know why? Men that have stood in my position has not preached. Men stood in my position has not preached. Now listen, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to be ugly, okay? Because I've thought about this all week about how to put this, and I only know one way to put it, and here it is, okay? But I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't care what you think. Okay? I don't care what you think this morning. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't even care what I think. All that matters is what that book says right there. You know, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what Washington says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care. I just don't care. Why, friend? Because God don't care what you think. God don't care what I think. All he cares about is what he said. That's what he cares about. And I want to look at this for just a second this morning. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're living in a nation that is full of sin. You say, how do we fix that, preacher? How do we fix our nation? He said, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt what? What's your Bible say? Very first thing, put away thine abominations out of my sight. So I'm going to deal with some things. I'm going to deal with one thing this morning, and I'm probably going to preach to the choir. If you'd let me say that, if you'd let me say it that way, some of y'all thought I was actually going to preach to the choir, but our nation is full of abominations.
That's right.
I mean, it's full of murderers and drunkards, rapists, sodomites, full of abomination, and we let it go. So if God will help us with this series, I want to deal with the abominations of our nation, the sin of a nation, and how to deal with it. First of all, I want to deal with this morning with abortion. I think everybody sitting in here would be against that. I hope you are. Your heart ain't right with God if you ain't against it. I have no problem saying that. And I'm just going to cut to the chase this morning so that you'll know where I stand at. Abortion is murder. There's no other way to look at it, friend. You can tell me that the woman has a right. The woman does not have a right, friend, over that life that's in her body. Listen, that is the church of the Laodicea. Hey, that's what Laodicea means. The people's rights. That's what folk want. It's my right. It's my body. Hey, listen, friend, when that baby's growing inside of her, it's not hers. And that to do with it, she pleases. Amen. God set it up different. Just because our Supreme Court in 1973 and that declared that it was legal and that to have an abortion does not make it right with God. So when is a baby a baby? I want you to take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And while we're going to Luke chapter 1, listen, do you know that 2 weeks after conception, go Luke 1 now, 2 weeks after conception, do you know that baby can move? Now the world can call it a fetus all they want to. Word of God calls it a baby. Word of God calls it a child. I'll show you that just here in a minute. Do you know after 2 weeks, that little baby can move? Do you know 4 weeks in the womb, that thing has started to grow, and that limbs, and it has muscle tissue, that it's got a heart, and it's got a heartbeat? Do you know after 5 weeks that it has little eyes and it has little ears and its small hands are visible? That's after 5 weeks. You know after 6 weeks that it will respond and that to touch? Do you know that after 8 weeks of being in its mother's womb that if for some reason that she has that baby early, listen, that it will actually try to breathe on its own after 8 weeks? Hey, don't tell me that child ain't alive inside of a mother's womb this morning. Hey, listen, we've got a nation full of murderers and God is angry this morning. And I'm a little angry too, if truth is to be known. This is something that I have to contain myself with, or we'll get mad if we ain't careful, the wrong kind of man. You know, the Bible said, be angry and sin not. Amen. It's okay to get angry.
That's right. It is.
You ought to be angry at this sin. Amen. Luke 1, look in verse 40. Here comes Mary and that to Elizabeth's house. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, look at what the rest of your Bible says. The who?
Praise God.
The babe.
Amen.
The babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What did the Bible call John the Baptist right there?
Uh-huh.
Called him a babe, didn't it? She's not holding him. She's not got him. He's in her womb. But yet the Bible called him a babe. Do you know that I believe it is 26 times in your King James Bible that the terminology with child is mentioned. Not with fetus, but with child. Do you know that God sees that unborn child as a living being? You know, something that is growing is living. Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon put it like this, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child." Growing. Something that's growing is alive. It's not dead. It's alive. Jeremiah chapter 1, you can go back there. I'll read it to you if you don't want to get back there real quick. But Jeremiah said, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God said, "Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever formed in the belly, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Here is something that I believe that this Jeremiah, sitting here next to Miss Sarah, has mentioned before in preaching. I've never understood how a pregnant woman who is in a car gets hit by a drunk driver. And if they both die, they'll charge him with two counts of murder, homicide. One for her and one for that unborn child. I don't understand that. How then can they say that it is legal and that to take the child out of the mother's womb and kill it and it be okay to do that? I don't understand that, friend. Take your Bible and go. Well, I'll just tell you, Exodus chapter 21. The Bible said, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished, or shall be surely punished, according as a woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge's term." What's he saying? Listen, if two men are fighting, and a pregnant lady comes over there and gets in the middle of it, and she ends up having her baby because of that, but the baby does not die, and she gets to keep it, no mischief follow. I said, then all he's got to do is pay. But you know what the next verse says? "And if any mischief follow," in other words, if that baby dies, "then thou shalt give life for life." God sees it as life. If there's no other verse plain in the Bible that God seen that unborn child as life, it's in the book of Exodus. He said, "You're going to have to give a life for that life." God said that it is the shedding of innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible said, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." You tell me that that child that's in that mother's womb, that's living but yet unborn, is guilty. You tell me what it's done. Now I know that we're all born under sin. I know what the book of Psalms says. I understand that. And we're all born under sin. I understand that. But listen, there's nothing no more innocent than that unborn child in its mother's womb. Amen. And God said that the shedding of blood, innocent blood, is what? An abomination. Now, what did he tell the nation of Israel to do, nation of Judah? He said, what? Put away thine abominations. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Every doctor, every nurse, every person. Listen, I believe there's going to be politicians that's sitting in Washington, D.C. That's going to stand before Justin and Almighty God because of their view and their standpoint and what they've done in abortion, friend.
Amen, that's right.
You know that the biggest serial killers and mass murderers is not Ted Bundy. It's not Jack the Ripper. It's not the Zodiac Killer. It's not Charles Manson. but it's the abortion doctors.
That's right. Amen.
Do you know in 2016 there was 885,000 abortions? In 2015 there was 913,000. In 2011 there was 1.06 million. In 2008 there was 1.21 million. In 2005 there's 1.2 million. In 2000 there's 1.31 million. I'd call them the biggest mass murderers that there ever was.
That's right.
I'd call them serial killers. And you know what? God is not happy. God's angry.
That's right.
Judgment's coming.
Amen.
God said, hey, he told the nation of Israel, he said, put away thine abominations. I don't think I have to convince anybody here that abortion is murder. If I've presented just enough scripture for just a little while for you to see that. But all them murders that took place and sanctioned and said that it's okay because the law says that it's okay, that does not make it right. You know that abortion is trying, I have no doubt, and that to stop God's plan. You know in Exodus chapter 1, what did Pharaoh do down there? Why, he's trying to kill all them boy children, wasn't he? Right? Exodus chapter 1. He was trying to kill them all. Guess who was born during that time? Why, Moses was, wasn't he? Didn't his mama over there make a little ark out of bulrushes and slimed a peach, did you know, and sent him down the river over there. And just so happened, boy, ain't that just true, just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter was the one that found him. What was the devil trying to do during that time? Why, he's trying to kill Moses, wasn't he? God's deliverer, God's leader. Hey, during the time of Jesus, in the book, is it in the book of Luke? Let me go back and look. Just mention a couple of times in the book of Matthew. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 2. Look in verse 16. Matthew 2 and verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, what did he tell them? He said, go out there and find him that is king of the Jews, for I want to worship him. Well, God warned them. He said, you go back home a different way. And the Bible said when he saw that he was mocked with wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Hey, he not only was going to kill them if they were little, he said, you get them from 2 years old and down. And we understand what that's about. They said it's been about 2 years since we've seen the star, you know. And we've come and we want to worship him. So Jesus would have been around 2 years old at this time. And the Bible said that he killed them. And in verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. We see the prophecy of the book of Jeremiah come to be fulfilled. Murder of the child was trying to stop God's plan. I have no doubt that Satan is trying to stop things. There's no telling how many preachers there could have been. How many preachers' wives. How many missionaries. You ever wonder why we're needing missionaries in the United States? Reckon how many of them God could have used that the devil talked their mama into killing them. Ain't you glad your mama didn't have an abortion? Amen. Abortion is a lack of natural affection. It is unnatural for a mother not to love her children. Now, I don't know if Miss Bethany down here knows that I know this. But while you were sleeping in the hospital, I come up there to see that young'un. Right after you had him. I got to see Brother Jeff and Sister Kathy and your husband, but you were sleeping. And Sister Kathy said this about what Miss Bethany said after that baby came into the world. Here was the words that I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I already love him. I already love him. How could she say, she had never seen him before. How could she say that I already love him when she just had him? He hadn't even been in the world for an hour, but I already love him. How? That's a natural thing. That's just natural affection of a mother. Can I tell you there's something wrong with mamas that would be willing to go to an abortion clinic and kill their child? There's something wrong. Hey, the Bible said, "Didst know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." You know how I know we're coming to an end? We're without natural affection. We're without natural affection. But yet, women want their rights. We're living in the Laodicean church age, the people's rights. With abortion comes shame and regret. You know, with every sin, there's always shame and regret. Think about it. How many times have we sinned on God, and God comes and bothers us? That's just saved people. Let me ask you, looking back, before you got saved, listen, and even after you did get saved, you know, sin causes us to carry baggage and scars. You know why I encourage you to get saved early in life? So that you ain't got to carry that stuff. So that you ain't got to carry baggage. So that you ain't got to carry scars around with you that Satan has done to you and will do to you and can do to you. Listen, he can make saved people carry around that stuff. If we get out and sin, scar us up, cause us baggage. Listen, David said in Psalms 51, and he was a man after God's own heart, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." He said, "It's ever before me. It's in front of me." I know. Now listen, I know these people unsaved, women unsaved, goes and gets abortions and gets saved. I know that. And I know that God can help them with their mind and with their heart. I know that. I know God can do that. That's how great our God is. But I want to read you something right here. This came out of the Christian and Social Issues. That is a book wrote sometime back in the 80s. And he references an ad that was run in the Washington Post on June the 13th, 1983. And this is about a lady that had undergone a saline abortion just 6 months prior to this ad going out in the Washington Post. And she talks about the mental torments that she suffers every day. And here's what she said. "It's an everyday hell of never hearing a baby cry without crying within myself. Counting days to see how old the baby would have been. Wondering what contributions my baby would have made to our desperate society. And wondering if there will ever be another chance for motherhood." Boy, she talks about the abortion, and she says that she sat in a crowded waiting room, that she looked at others' fearful faces and their anxious faces, and that they were signing death certificates for something that was very much alive within her. Seeing crying women given tranquilizers and sent home to recuperate and try to forget. Why would women do that? Why would women do that? Hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, friend. Why women do that? The easy answer is Satan. That's the easy answer. That's what he wants folk to do. I understand that. But to have their own right or to be promiscuous or to play around. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you this morning. Abortion is wrong. Amen. And God calls it an abomination. Why would you want to live the rest of your life thinking that way and carrying that around in your mind? When this goes out on the radio, this goes out on the internet, I've never addressed that camera back there, but I'm about to address it this morning. Why would you want to do that? Why would you think that it's okay? Why would you think that? I sure do appreciate the Lord this morning. But you know, he said, "If you'll put away your abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove." God was fixing to remove the nation of Judah. God was fixing to remove the nation of Israel. He was fixing to carry them off down into the land of Babylon. And what I never could understand about the book of Jeremiah and all the other prophets that had come and warned Israel during this time. What I never could understand is they just wouldn't believe them. Israel wanted to do what they were doing and believe that God was not going to intervene. And believe that God would not send judgment. Listen. If you go over, you remember when Jehoshaphat and King Ahab. I preached on this just a little bit in revival on Wednesday night in 2 Chronicles 18. You'll find that King Ahab had all his prophets out there, and they were all saying, "Yeah, go up to Syria and fight and battle and go." And King Jehoshaphat wouldn't listen to him. He said, "Is there not somebody else?" And here's what he said. He said, "There's one other," but he never prophesies anything good. But everything that Micah always prophesied come true. And he said, but he never prophesied. You know what people want? They want us to tell them that it's okay. They want us to say that that Bible says it's okay. They want to feel good about what they're doing and make it okay. And that's why they'll argue with you and tell you that it's right, that it's my choice. No, it ain't! It's not no more your choice to kill an unborn child as it is to walk up to somebody on the street and pull the trigger.
Amen.
There is no difference.
Amen.
I hadn't thought about that, but there is no difference. Then you just walking up to somebody and taking a gun and shooting them in cold blood, point blank, and going to an abortion clinic and killing that child, there is no difference. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. He said, if you'll put away your abomination, then you won't be removed. He said, you need to break up your fallow ground. You need to sow not among the thorns. He said, you need to circumcise your heart. He said, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn none that can quench it, because why? Of the evil of your doings. He is talking to the whole nation. But can I tell you, it's going to have to start right here. You say, what can we do? You take your stand. You take your stand. We'll write our congressman. Huh? We'll put out the truth as much as we can put it out and tell people not to do it, and they need to get right. Hey, I'm telling you, if enough people get to screaming and hollering, friend, something will happen. You say it may blow it apart. That's good. Amen. Hey, listen, we're headed down the wrong path as a nation. Do you care about your nation this morning? I love my nation. I love my country. I'm glad to be of the United States. Hey, there's people out there that don't even want to be of the United States. If you don't want to be here, leave. That's all I can tell you, friend. I am glad to be a citizen of the United States of America. We've just got abominations eating us up, friend. Eating us up. And one of them is abortion, and God is fixing to bring judgment upon our nation. He said, declare in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go in the defense cities. Why did he say that? Why did he say, blow the trumpet, get into the defense cities? He said, set the standard up towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and from a great destruction. If you're outside the defense, if you're outside where you can be protected, you're going to get got. He said, get somewhere, because judgment is coming. The lion has come up from the thicket, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. Can I tell you right now, that friend, we need to do what verse 8 said. Gird ourselves with sackcloth and lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. Judgment's coming. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. We get a verse of invitation, fellas. Listen, judgment's coming on our nation. How much do we pray for our nation? You say, preacher, I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go get an abortion. I don't know people that's got an abortion. I don't know. Now, hey, listen to me this morning. I want you to hear me. Jeremiah had to suffer through the judgment of God. He was telling them right. He was preaching to them right. Telling them the word of God. Telling them the truth. Begging them to get right. And he was still carried off down into the land of Babylon. Let me tell you, we may have to suffer as God's people through some of the judgment of God, friend, because of what's going on in our nation. Listen, it rains on the just and the unjust. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, just alike. And friend, when judgment comes to a nation, those that are there are not going to be immune. I know God can keep us and watch over us, but friend, I'm asking you this morning, how many of us would just come and plead with God for our nation? How many of us would get in sackcloth and ashes in our heart and plead for our nation and beg God to turn judgment out and get folk right? How many of us would do that? Start playing, Brother Lewis, if you're ready. Listen, maybe this morning you've realized, yeah, what the preacher's saying is true. And I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Judgment's coming. The morning I announced my call to preach, I remember that my preacher preached on the scripture over there that God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. And I believe that's what he's looking for right now. He's looking for people that would stand in the gap and make up the way. Be found faithful. Would raise their voice up when they see that something's wrong. Would be willing to spend time in prayer and fasting for a nation that once loved God. Oh Lord, help us, Jesus. That once loved God, but yet it forsook Him. Friend, if it don't start with us, Bible said in the book of 1 Peter, if judgment does not begin at the house of God, if it don't begin with us, friend, it's got to begin with us. We can't expect the world to get right till we get right. We can't expect the world to do right if we ain't going to take them the word of God. You say they don't want to hear it. That don't matter, friend. We're still commanded to take. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. If you want to come pray for our nation, you come. But boy, I'd like to. Listen, I remember a time when things was different. Things was different. Church was different. Church people was different. 90% of things that was going on today would not have went on then. But yet we've slacked somewhere, church. We've slacked. We've yet to stand up and be accounted for. That's what had happened in Jeremiah's day. If I understand the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the only one that was giving them the word of God to a whole nation. Think if there was just one preacher today to a whole nation of sinners. Friend, I'm telling you today, if we don't stand in the gap, if we don't intercede, just as Daniel did in Daniel 9, I'm telling you right now, our nation is in trouble. We're in trouble for our abominations. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help during this invitation. Lord, if somebody want to come and pray, I pray that they'll be making their way down and gather up around this altar and begin to beg and intercede, and that for our nation, for their children and their grandchildren, to have a place that knows God. That their children could raise in a nation, be raised in a nation that loves God. Lord, that we'd come and intercede for our leaders, those that are in a place, Lord, where law's made. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help those that's making laws today. Oh, God, that you'd affect their heart. Oh, and just deal with them today. God, that you'd break their heart and show them that abortion is murder today. And God, that abortion is, Lord, that it's wrong and it's shedding innocent blood. And yet your judgment is coming, yet that though people don't seem to believe that this morning. But I pray, ask you this morning to deal with our nation as a whole. Oh, that we'd each stand in the gap and cry loud, hold up the bloodstained banner and cry out that Jesus will save. Ooh, and He'll save. Oh, ready to forgive. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Lord, that in spite of their self and in spite of what they've done, you're willing to forgive. Thank you so much. Oh, you've been so kind to us as a people and so kind to us as a church and so kind to us as a nation. Couldn't brag on you enough. Glorify you enough. Couldn't do it. But Lord, we just want to say thank you. We'll say thank you this morning for what you've done. Lord, just deal with hearts. Lord, if they need to come pray, I pray they will.